So on the party of Esther, Achashverosh, really, the beginning of the story begins with a massive party that took place in Pasuk Beis that says it was in the third, well, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Gimel said it was in the third year of Achashverosh's reign. And we gave, over the last couple of weeks, several approaches to what occurred specifically and why now he was making a party. Why at the third year? Why not the second year? Why not day one? Inauguration day. And not only did we discuss several reasons why the third year, we also go with several reasons for the party. And the most obvious one we started with a couple weeks ago was that the Gemara says that Achashverosh made a party because there was a known prophecy that at 70 years post the beginning of the exile, there was going to be a redemption for the Jews. No one knew when the 70 years was supposed to begin. That created a problem. Good thing for us, bad thing for the non-Jews. And at certain intervals of 70 years, when they thought, oh, the 70 years are up, they said, okay, let's make a major party. That means the 70 years are up, the Jews will never be redeemed again. And that's what Baal Shetzar does. He was the first one to make a party. And the Gemara goes through the details of that party on Megillah Yud Aleph Beis, 11b. And there it says that because, the words of the Gemara says, because he took out the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, here it says like this, Asi, I'm reading the article's English, he made a cheshbon, skipping the whole, we never went through the cheshbon, but it's okay. He thus totaled 70 years. What did he do? Afik money the Beis HaMikdash. He brought out the plundered vessels of the Holy Temple, the Beis HaMikdash, and he used them at a great banquet, attempted by his noblemen. 20, reading article, the banquet was an occasioned by Belshazzar, the Befuach HaShverosh, military victory over Daryavish. Since the 70-year period had uneventfully passed, Baal Shetzar felt safe in making personal use of the sacred temple vessels. And because we know private citizens are prohibited from benefiting from sacred temple vessels, that's a issa me'ilah, but it's a real serious issa, the punishment that Baal Shetzar faced was death. Then Baal Shetzar's out and Achashverosh is in. And Achashverosh also goes through the same idea. Same area, same time, right before him. Right before him. We have to go through this tomorrow one day length. So Baal Shetzar gets killed, and he's out. And now Achashverosh is in, and he said, you know what? Baal Shetzar made a mistake on the counting of the 70 years. He counted from the wrong time. But where I counted, the time's good, they're done. Now, what happens later on? And he makes his own party, and it seems like he's using the vessels as well. Let's go to the pasuk that we are up to now. Really, we're up to earlier, but we're going to go a little ahead. Pasuk Gimel is, we read last time, Vishnah Shal Samachah, the third year of his reign. Asa Mishtah, he made a party. L'chol Sarav, all his noblemen, Vavadav, and the slaves. You have to know why all these words, not for today. Chel, the people of Paras Umadai, Hapartim, and Vesar B'dinas Lefonim. There's a lot of names of titles, we'll have to, not for this week. Baroysa, when he wanted to show off as Oisha Kvoid Malchusai, he wanted to show off his wealth. Ves, Yikar Teferis Gudulasai, again, all flowery words. He wanted to show off his beauty. Yomim Rabim, it was a massive party. Now the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean?
Israel.
Yikar Teferis. So the Gemara says a fascinating thing. Mm-hmm. That's what words we're doing today. Well, Pasuk, I think it's in Pasuk. In Pasuk Dalet, that's what we're doing now. Yikar Teferis, what does it mean? It's a Gemara. 12a. So now we did a Gemara a second ago on 11b. And on Gemara 11b it says, when Baal Shetzar used the vessels, he got punished. Here, it's taught in the story. It says like this, L'chavoid ula sefaris. What does that mean? Baharoisai es, we'll read the Oscar, Baharoisai es oishe kavod malchusai. So Rashi, Gemara says, when he displayed the riches of his glorious kingdom, Amar Rabbi Yosef Achanina, he explains what these words, very poetic words. The Lame, this teaches us, Shalavash big day kahuna. Achashverosh put on the clothing of the big day kahuna of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi adds on, right away, the important Rashi, Shoyu biyadai, how did he get that? He didn't live in Jerusalem. How did he get this clothing? Shoyu biyadai. Sham big day kayan gadol. The kayan gadol's clothing was there. Why? Rashi adds on, Shehevion Yushalayim. That they brought, yes, that it was brought from Jerusalem. Now, right away, you should know, on this Rashi, Ois nun, there's a goy sabach. A goy sabach says, she adds on the detail, Shehevi Nebuchadnezzar Mishalayim. So there was Nebuchadnezzar when he destroyed the temple. Let's see if Rashi even says this there. Oscar says it. I don't see it here. Let's read the Oscar on top. Belamed shalavash bigdei kuna. How do you know that? How do you get to this pasuk bigdei kuna? Very easy. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk over here, we just read it, your card, teferes gedulasai, use the word teferes. Fiksiv hasam, and it says it in Shemais, when it describes the bigdei kain gadol, it calls it lechavir ulusafares. So since it said lefares here, since it says teferes there, therefore we know that when it's the reason why Mardukha used the word teferes is to tell us teferes is always a hint to bigdei kuna. Achashverosh using bigdei kuna. Oskol says, the connecting word teferes, that use means splendor, intimates that at least at this festival, Achashverosh adorned himself with the garments of the Kohen Gadol, which had been looted from the temple during the Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So here we have a very simple thing. Not yet, but we're going to say it's simple now. We'll see why it's not. That Achashverosh at his party took on the vessels, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Now, 5 minutes ago, we said Belshazzar was first in the game. And what Belshazzar did was he took out the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash and he used the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. And what's the punishment to use the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash? Death. Heavenly death. And you know what happened? It was meted out punishment. Belshazzar died that night. Here Achashverosh is running a party. We're not sure yet about the vessels, we'll see soon. But he used the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. And it does not, Achashverosh, as you know, did not die tonight at this party. Because otherwise the Megillas Esther would have had a whole different version of events. Clearly he was alive after this. So the question becomes, and then we're going to go into real lumpness, is that, wait a second, why did Achashverosh not get killed for using the clothing? And I will tell you more. It's going to say that Vashti was killed at this party for being punished for using the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, you know, oh.
So wait a second. That's the vessels. Why are we punishing for vessels and we're not punishing for clothing?
In the tune of
Eichah,
because it's...
Impossible. What is that? Zayin or Ches? Vav, Zayin, Cheses, V'hashkos, B'chleizav, V'keilim, V'keilim, Shreinim. So it says in four psukim from now that they're going to use the keilim of the Beis HaMikdash and Vashi is going to suffer getting killed. That's what Gemara says. And Israel's right. We read those words to show it's terrible. We say that we read the keilim in the tune of Eichah because they were using our keilim. So let me ask a simple question. If we're going to read the story as an historical document, and we're going to say in Pasuk Dalet, somehow we got the Pasuk Dalet so quickly, it bothers me. Should we be going much slower than that? We're on Pasuk Dalet, and Pasuk Dalet says he used the clothing, but at no point in time does it say he's getting killed yet. In Pasuk Zion, what did I just say? Zion Aches, what did I just say? Zion, three psukim, that's $1 billion. How long does three psukim take to learn in this class? 6 months? So that means 6 months later, Achashverosh is using the vessels and Vashti is being killed. Why didn't he get killed for the clothing? That's the question we're asking tonight. Why wasn't using the Kahuna Gadol's clothing? Rashi has that underword Gadol. How do you know that? Why wasn't that a death penalty? Why do you have to wait for the vessels? We have to find out why Achashverosh wasn't killed and Vashti was. That's for a future class. But right now we have a simple question. Belshazzar dies for using the vessels. Vashti dies for using the vessels. But Achashverosh, we're assuming, is putting on the clothing. The word what I just say, Melamed, Gemara says, Melamed Shalavash, Big Tekuna. Oskol's English says, teaches us, Achashverosh donned, not a word I would use, donned priestly garments. Why didn't he die? Why didn't he die? If you're doing the same, in me, it's the same transgression. Now, as a side note, always like to point out, when you look at Rashi, and you look at the original places, not always it seems like, is it the exact same word for word quote? Many times, Rashi's quoting a Medrash, he will remove or add a word in sometimes. Now, here's not a Rashi, it's a Gemara. The Gemara I just quoted. Amar Rabbi Yosi Vachanini, Melamed Shalavash Big Tekuna. If you look at the Medrash Rabbah on that Pasuk, the Medrash Rabbah says that the rabbi says, what does it mean again, this phrasing to Ferris? Oh, it means the Kahuna Gadoila, the clothing? And it says he showed it off. It doesn't say he wore it. So that would be a simple answer right now. If you want to go with the Medrash, the Gemara doesn't say this. If you want to go with a simple version of the Medrash, they never wore it.
He didn't use it.
He showed it off. He put it on the rack. Putting on the rack, it might not be death penalty. But we're going on our Gemara. Our Gemara says he wore it. That's using it. Wearing it, using it is a big problem. Or it should be a big, it's not, I mean, he didn't die for it. Why is it not? So now we're going to take a circular route where we have to put our law caps on, our brain caps on, because it's relevant to this week's Parsha. So we have to tie in the Parsha to Megillas Esther, to the events going on. So I'm up late at night sometimes. And it says like this. In this week's Parsha, Parsha's boy, we have all the laws of the Korban Pesach and many of the laws of Yom Tov Pesach. And it says like this, the law. We know the law is, we are not allowed to possess chametz on Pesach. We're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, yes, but we're not allowed to possess chametz on Pesach either. That's why we walk around a candle the night before. We have to remove, destroy all chametz from our possession. Okay, now, the general rule is this. This is a general rule in Judaism 101. As I keep on saying, sometimes about Shal Shuddis, you don't have to know everything at 120. You can walk in at 120 and say, God, I was born ignorant, I died ignorant, I'm okay. But certain things you have to know. This is something you have to know. Last week we had another test. I don't know. I don't remember what we said. Do you remember Israel? We said about Shal Shuddis. I forgot what it was. Certain rules you have to know. There's a rule you have to know. I'm assuming everyone knows it. We have different types of punishments that the courts administer for violations and transgressions of the mitzvahs. Lashes is one of the big ones. If the Torah says, do not do something, don't eat pig, and you're properly warned, you get punished with lashes. The rule of when you get lashes is very simple. Only when it's violated through an action. A lav she'ein by ma'isa, an inactionable transgression, there's no lashes administered. What's a classic example, let's say, of a non-actionable thing? Carbon Pesach. We have an obligation to eat the Carbon Pesach until the morning. And the Torah prohibits with an open 613 commandment, do not leave over the Carbon Pesach. So when someone leaves over the Carbon Pesach, he clearly violated one of the 613 mitzvahs, but he didn't violate it with an action. Mm-hmm. Leaving something over is an inaction. It's laziness. It's not doing something. So is there Malkus for Deiser? No. No. Why not? It's inactionable. That's rule number one. You have to know this. Lav she'ein, but we rule. Lav she'ein by ma'isa ein loikin. A non-actionable transgression is not punished by lashes. Now, the commission has a fascinating thing. Another thing you need to know about lashes. You have to know this before you get to 120 for the test. How many times do you get punished when you do one sin? One punishment for one sin. Let's say you're a repeat offender. The guy went to a non-kosher restaurant. And he ate a huge tray for pig. How much is the minimum requirement to kazayas? One kazayas, we get lashes. Let's say the guy eats 100 kazayas. Mm-hmm. Does he get 100 lashes? No. Unless he's warned between every single one. The warning makes a separation. Open Mishnah. Nazir, we're talking about a nazir. A nazir is prohibited by a negative commandment from drinking wine. Reading article Mishnah. This is on the 21a in Makkos. A Nazir who kept drinking wine the entire day, but was issued only a single warning, Ein Chayev Elachas, is liable for one set of lashes only. Because only the first drink immediately follow a warning. The subsequent drinks, however, do not immediately follow a warning, and Malkus cannot therefore be incurred for them. But some Ibn Chacham comes along, a witness, and says, by the way, buddy, tells the Nazir, I'll tish, do not drink, do not drink. Fu Shoyz, and he keeps on drinking. Chayev kalachas rachas. Every drink is another violation. So the simple rule is this. You can do this, you must do an action to be liable. What about a repetitive action? One violation, unless you warned in between. Each warning in between becomes another violation. So as it means every time the guy's warned and he drinks again, another violation. Open Gemara. Other cases. The guy's shaving his head and I'll use a shaver. You get one violation for the entire shave of your entire head. But if the witness told him, do not shave, and he does it, second case. I skipped one. Here goes the case we're discussing tonight. The guy's wearing klayim. A negative violation. Do not wear klayim. In a chayv alachas, the whole day. The guy was climbing the whole day, he's chayv one time. But Armel, the guy tells him, Al tibos, don't do it. Vupoishit v'loivish, and he removes the clothing and puts it back on. Chayv alachas v'yachas. He's chayv every single time. Oh! So the Mishnah says, even though he takes it off. Gemara says like this. No. The Gemara says, it doesn't have to be. This is Rav Ashi. Major crucial detail of Rashi. Amar Rashi, we skipped a few lines of the Gemara. Afilu loy shah, elikadei lift straight the lovash. It doesn't have to be like the Mishnah openly says, by the way, that he undid the clothing, put back on the clothing. No, even if he waited, reading off scroll, even if he did not remove the garment, but merely continued wearing it, following each warning. Why? For the amount of time it would take him to actually remove it and put it back on, he's chayev.
But that's different than the Mishnah.
Ah, besides it in the Mishnah. Let's go through we're going down steps. In order to be liable for Malchus, you must do an actionable offense. Drinking wine. Shaving your head. Walking into a Beis HaKvaros. Placing on yourself a jacket of client. Okay, one time, the whole day. If someone steps in and starts warning you, every additional drink, every additional shave.
But it has to be every additional warning.
Every additional warning will get you another set of lashes. Yes. So if the guy, if you have good friends, they won't warn you. They'll keep quiet. But if you have bad friends, they'll keep on warning you and you'll keep on getting lashes. Now the Gemara says, what about the client? Now, as an example, so I put on this jacket. Let's say the jacket of client. And you say, oh, Rabbi, client, you got to take that off. So the Mishnah says, if I take it off and put it back on, and you warn me again, second lashes. You warn me a third time, I take it off and put it back on. What about I leave it on? Ravashi is a massive chiddush. Ravashi, don't read the Mishnah that he put it on and took it off, put it on and took it off. No. The time. Let's say it takes 9 seconds to put on a jacket. So you come over and say, hey, Rabbi. Well, take off and put it on. Rabbi, get that jacket off. It's client. I'm like, I'm okay. 9 seconds go by. A second set of lashes. You tell me, hey, Rabbi. You're not listening. Another 9 seconds. Another set of lashes. That's what the Gemara is saying openly. Rambam rules this way. If a guy is wearing klayim the whole entire day, he's liable one time for one set of lashes. If someone tells him to take it off, and he doesn't take it off, for every amount of time it would take, 9 seconds I'm making up, it could be 17 seconds, it could be 3 seconds, as long as the time it would do, depends on the item of clothing, depends on how old the guy is, he's chayiv again. So what's the obvious question? The obvious question is, if the only time one is liable for lashes is when you do an action, alav she'ein by maisa, if it's an inactionable crime, like leaving over Pesach meat till the next morning, there's no lashes. Mm-hmm. So I ask you, Heshi, wearing a jacket the whole day, is that an actionable offense? You didn't do anything. The first time you did something, in the morning, when you put your jacket on, when the guy said, hey, don't put the jacket on, it's climb. Okay, you get lashes one time. When the guy comes out, he says, oh, take it off. Is not taking off your jacket any different than leaving over meat? What happens on a Pesach night? I have a prohibition. Do not leave over meat. And the guy leaves it over. Does he get lashes? No. Why not? He violated the law. Because leaving over is doing nothing. If you're sitting in your chair and the transgression occurs, nobody cares. So you can sit in your house. You can allow the meat to go past chatzos. No chatzos on your seder. You can allow it go past the morning. Doesn't make a difference. You're not getting malchus. Why? Because you left over. If you don't do an action, you can't get punished. So now the question becomes over here. We have a rule that the separation of warnings creates another lashes. Why? Okay. When an action is informed, it makes sense. If a guy's telling the nazir, don't drink, every time he picks up a cup, lashes. Every time the guy uses a shaver to his head, lashes. I understand that. I understand that the warning could create multiple transgressions. But how does a guy sitting back and not taking the clothing off and putting it back on do anything? If he takes it off and puts it back on, he does an action. This is the bomb question.
If I don't put on,
that's the problem. Why are you being punished? You're not a good guy. You should have taken it off. We don't get punished for that. We don't punish everybody with lashes. So the question is a very, very obvious question. If you're only liable for lashes on an actionable offense, then wearing klayim the whole day is a non-actionable offense.
Yeah, but maybe the action
is an action that
he was first. Hold on.
Yeah.
The action that you did originally, even though you're not repeating the action, it's still considered allowed. That's connected to an action.
Is that what you're gonna say?
I'm gonna say that the act of wearing it a whole day is actually doing something. He's wearing. It's not that it's just like not eating or leaving over. You know.
Let's go Azriel first. Azriel's chiddush is you're both right. It depends how you read a Ritva. This is a Rishonim master. The Tosfos, the Ritva. The Rishonim master's question. What do you mean? What's going on? Why is the guy being punished? So the Ritva says, very hard words to understand. It's written very vaguely. But one explanation is what Azriel said. That when it says you're not liable for lashes on a non-actionable transgression, it's talking about no action was done at all. Zero. When a guy has food on his table, he sits down. Nothing's being done. But in order to get the clothing onto yourself, you had to do something. So every 9 seconds, we attach it to the original putting on the clothing, which was an action. So throughout the day, it's one action that's considered being done again, 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 again. Because a 9 second delay, what's 9 seconds? I go back to my original action. That's what Israel was saying. What I think David was saying was, no, I don't need an original action. A 9 second delay is the time it takes if I got to put it on. I don't have to actually put it on. That the delay makes it as if I'm wearing it. Is that what you were saying? Almost. The delay is it. This question I had to read the ritual. How could a guy be obligated 15 times to wear the same jacket if he didn't move? He's sitting in the same place. He's frozen.
I think he's saying something that makes a lot of sense. He's saying that if you're wearing it, it's not like you're leaving food on the table, right. You're not touching it. You're actually wearing
it's
it.
It's an action. It's
even
an action.
No, he's not doing another action of putting it on, but there is wearing of it.
You said words that he didn't say.
That's what he said.
No, I'll tell you why, because he added a detail there, but that might be a difference. That's why. That's why you got to be careful. Say it again, Israel, because what David said is different. I'll show you the practice.
The thing is that wearing it is
an action.
Bigger action than leaving it on the table. It's on you.
Right.
It's you are wearing it. It's kind of
an
action.
Okay. Well, we'll get to it in a second. I'm going
to
ask you a question.
This is similar to the
pay attention. Yes.
Same idea.
Yes. So now it goes like this. This is the question I'm going to ask you. One of the 613 commandments that we brought this whole topic in tonight is for a reason. It's because of the Isser of chametz. As we said before, one is not allowed to eat chametz. That's bad. Eating chametz is an action. Chewing is an action. Now, there's another problem with chametz. Another prohibition. What's the prohibition? Do not possess chametz. Don't own chametz. We get rid of it for Pesach. So now, for sure, no question about this, if you go to the store on Pesach and you move your hand and you purchase chametz, you're getting lashes because you went and moved your hand and bought chametz. If you go to your oven and you make a recipe and you bake bread, you clearly violated an actual offense. You will get lashes if worn properly. Now I ask two of you a question. This is the difference between David and Israel if they were paying attention. Let's say you had chametz from Purim time. You got a big shalach manas. And now it's on your table, to quote Israel's words. It's on your table. And you decided, yeah, I like it there. It looks good on my table. I'm not going to touch it. Shabbos HaGadol comes around. You get rid of it? No, you like the look. Erev Pesach comes around. You get rid of it? Nah, I like the look. Now it's on Pesach. Someone comes over to you and says, hey, buddy, what's you a chametz there with that thing on your table? Yeah, I like the look. Yeah, but you can't have chametz in your house on Pesach. Okay, but I'm not doing anything. Am I not doing anything, Israel? Israel was saying a minute ago that leaving over meat on my table is doing nothing. Oh, wait one second. Hold that thought for a second. Let's get to the question first. If Israel's saying leaving over Pesach food, if I have a Pesach, same Pesach, current Pesach, I have to eat it by 8 o'clock in the morning, I left it on my table, Israel and David are like, well, leaving it on the table is not considered an action. That's why we agree there's no makas for sure. Why is it no makas? Because leaving on your table is not a problem. Wearing something on my body is what Israel used those words. That is called doing something. So according to Israel, David nodding along originally, he's about to jump ship on him. He's jumping ship on you. What about owning chametz on Pesach? What were you about to say? I think I know what you're about to say.
What do you mean he's not doing anything? He didn't get rid of it.
So is that an action or not action?
It is an action.
You're talking like David now. Why not doing you?
It's in his press.
And the carbon Pesach is in his on his table. Go eat it.
The chametz is in his possession.
Correct.
And if it's in his possession, he's doing something. He's owning it. That means he's doing.
So you're saying owning is an action. You're saying wearing is an action, not physically. There's emotional now.
Right.
No. I'm agreeing in a way.
Well, Oshigiri had that one time prior. It was an action that took place at one point.
Israel is Shitasa. When he jumped ship on you, I figured that's where he's going. Israel is going with his Shita. Israel is saying you're always going to attach it to an original action. This was Israel's Shitasa. Israel said the reason why a guy wear clothing is going to be liable 18 times, I am doing nothing. Because Israel said, no, you always attach it to the original action. So the attachment to the original action was at one point they got to put the clothing on. Now Israel has another thing. Oh yeah, I'm going to get out of the bind and dump on Aronowitz, but I'm going to tell you like this. Wait a second. You know what happened by the Pesach? I had to get the chametz to my house at one point. So if the chametz got it to my house at one point, it was original action. So according to you, Israel, everyone's right and wrong because we're arguing. According to Israel, If a guy did nothing for the action, he was sitting in a house that had chametz in it. He didn't own the house. It's not his chametz, not his house. He goes into his goyish friend's house on Pesach. And his goyish friend has Pesach. You don't have to do that. You can go, you shouldn't have a goyish friend. But if you go into your goyish friend's house on Pesach and he has chametz, you're okay. You're not getting lashes for that. No way, right? And then let's say you're sitting there and the someone comes to you, hey, chametz on your table. That's not my table. Well, you're breathing the air of chametz. That's allowed. You're allowed to walk into a pizza shop on Pesach. Not a problem. You're allowed to do that. I got another problem. The guy's trying to get your lashes. And then you have a good friend, the guy. That was your first mistake. And the guy says, you know what? I love you, my friend, so much. Here are the keys to my house. It's now all yours. You didn't do anything. A guy has a father who's a bum, who had chametz. And the father dies. Or the father didn't even know. There's a guy who has a father in the hospital. He owns a house. He didn't clean his house before Pesach. He's in the hospital. And the son lives in Flatbush. The father lives in Borough Park. And God forbid, on Pesach comes along and the father dies. The son automatically inherits the father. So the son living in Flatbush also knows he inherited his father's house in Pesach. So he comes to the house, opens the door, chametz on the table.
When he comes on Pesach?
On Pesach, that's when the father died. That's when he inherited. So now I ask his real Horowitz, you're giving him lashes in that case? He didn't do anything in this case. He did no action whatsoever. And having an inheritance, you agree, is non-actionable. So did he do anything here or not? So let's do this slowly again, because everyone's right and wrong, because I'm combining 47 machlokes
in front of me. It usually takes an action, so in fact...
No, that's not your action. You say a action? That's a far stretch now. So we have... let's go to the three cases in front of us. The Gemara openly states, and the Rambam states, so that's, you know, that's big, that if a guy is wearing clothing, even though there is no action presently occurring, but as long as a guy tells him, take that off, and he doesn't, he's liable. That was case number one. That's a Rambam. Almost impossible to argue on that one. Then we have a case of chametz. We made up our own case right now. That, let's say, well, we'll go, let's do it easier. The Sefer HaChinuch says, no, that if a guy has chametz in his house, that he bought himself, not his real case, he bought the chametz on Purim, but when you buy chametz on Purim, is that legal or illegal?
Legal.
Legal. When you put the chayim on yourself, is that legal?
No.
Illegal. So there's a difference. The Sefer HaChinuch says, listen, I don't know what the Rambam's talking about chayim, I agree. He doesn't say these words, I'm paraphrasing. When a guy puts on chayim on Sunday morning and he's wearing chayim the whole day, he's got a problem. Because his first initial action was a negative prohibited action. Every time you're waiting, we're going to attach it to the action according to Israel. And according to Rambam, no, the time of wearing it counts as something. So everyone agrees now, when the action is on you, the clothing accounts. The Sefer HaChinuch adds on, Rishon, he says, but if the chametz is sitting on your table the whole time, you're not liable. Why? The assumption is going to be because the initial reaction was a permitted action. Even though the chametz on my table now, I didn't do anything like that. Some people argue the Sefer HaChinuch. They said, no. Take what is real. No, you had to buy the chametz. Therefore, if you bought the chametz on there, I don't care if it was legal or illegal, you did an action. Israel's in the sheet. I want to go back to an action. You have an action there. I don't need a legal action. Right now, it's Pesach.
The action originally was legal.
So the, some want to say, because it depends how you look at Israel's words. Is Israel's words, you have to go back to an illegal action or even any action?
No, he's talking about illegal.
So if you want, the difference is going to be, this case, when you bought chametz, you bought chametz. Hubner's adding on. Let's say you need, like, any action will get you violated. That still won't be an inheritance. The inheritor does 0-0. Because the inheritor didn't do even any action. The inheritor means on Pesach, he inherited a house that had chametz in it. What have to do with me? So everyone should agree the inheritor does not violate anything. Hold on, he was first.
But the thing is, it says you have to get rid of your chametz.
That's not what it says. That's what judge is going to tell you doesn't say. That's not what it says. It says like this. It's a debate, what it says, actually. Does it say you have to get rid of your chametz, destroy actively your chametz, or does it say, very possible, you must be chametz-free by Pesach? So the difference would be this. Classic Minchas Chinuch. Let's say you're an Atkins diet guy. Worse than the guy who is friends with a guy. You don't enjoy life. You don't have pizza. So you're decided, you haven't had chametz in your house in a whole year. Why? Because you don't have pasta in your house. So now, what is the mitzvah? If the mitzvah is, you must, that's what we were discussing, You have to actively destroy chametz. You know what you have to do? According to the go outside to your local grocery, buy some pizza, and burn it. But if you have to be chametz free, like many say, then you're good. But if you have to be chametz free, you know what that means? It's a non-actionable transgression. I don't have to destroy chametz. I just have to be chametz free. So when a guy is sitting right now, and he's in his house, and there's chametz in his house, so you can go in Israel's game and say, well, he bought it. You can go in Isranovich's game and say, well, he bought it, it was legal, so that shouldn't be a problem. Right? Or you can go with the game that, wait a second, what about if he inherited it? Now, what's interesting is this is how we're getting back to this. Because one of the Achronim 100 years ago, 150 by now, we're getting old, asked this question. He said, I've got a question. I don't like arguments, this guy says. I like everyone in peace. Why don't we all get along, as they say in California? Why don't we all get along? So what does he do? He said, I have a Rambam that says, the guy wearing climb the whole day, liable. I have the Sefer HaChinuch saying, that the stuff on your table the whole day, you're not liable. Why not? What's the difference between the chametz and the klein? So this rabbi goes with Israel's original game, which then he jumps ship on. So it's Israel and Aranowitz together.
Israel, you dumped on Aranowitz?
But Aranowitz is right now. Yourself. What's the difference? We because when you're wearing clothing, like that's much worse. Like a negative violation that you're personally benefiting from is a much more serious violation. So when you're wearing clothing, even though it's inactionable, you put it on an hour ago, and now the guy's telling me, hey, take it off now. I wasn't doing anything. That was an hour ago. I'm standing still. Statue of Liberty. Too bad. Why? Because your Statue of Liberty, what I thought Aranowitz was saying earlier, it's on you. On you is much worse. But the chametz, that's why the Rambam can say, that's why the Rambam can say, the guy wearing klayim the whole day will be liable 100 times as long as the guy warns him. But the Sefer HaChinuch is going to say the chametz on your table is no problem because that's on your table. When it's on your table, it's not so bad because that's not on you. I don't know if you meant this originally. When it's personal benefit, then the non-action becomes much more serious. Personal benefit. By the way, you can only be chayv and klayim if you're benefiting. That's the rule of klayim. It's don't benefit from klayim. It's not don't wear klayim. If you're wearing klayim and have no benefit, you're allowed, by the way. In such a weird case, for example, the Gemara says, if you're a seller of clothing, and you're wearing it to show off, but you don't really care to wear it.
Or not to protect something.
Right. Excellent. So if you're wearing klayim, the benefit of klayim outweighs the non-action of just sitting Statue of Liberty. But the benefit of chametz doesn't exist, because chametz on your table that you're not eating on Pesach doesn't do anything for you, unless you're insane. Right? What do you need the chametz on your table for? So since you're not benefiting personally, and you're non-actionable, because you bought it a year ago, or you even inherited it, you're not going to be liable in that case. Why are we discussing this besides this parsha's boy? Because now we're going to take the original question and make it stronger. For those who came late, we're not pointing out for the third week in a row. We wouldn't do such a thing. But, I'm not doing that. But the question is this. Belshazzar takes the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, places it on his table, and what happens to the guy? Death penalty. Heavenly death penalty. Achashverosh comes along, the pasuk we're reading right now. He puts on, according to the Gemara, right? Gemara's extra word. He puts on the clothing, and you know what happens to him? Nothing. So right now, we came full circle on a bomb question. This is Galatiana Pilpul. We're learning that when it comes to getting lashes by the administrative, by the courts, if you do nothing, you don't get it. But if you personally have it on you, benefit, that makes it worse. So benefit on you is worse than non-benefit in Jewish law, comparing the guy who has the chametz on his table versus the guy wearing the klayim. But here we have the backward. Here we have Achashverosh personally betting from the clothing, donned the garment, the words I didn't like from Oshkol. And we have Belshazzar sitting with the kalim and nothing happens to the guy. So we're starting with this is what we did here. Let's go back because I still think I'm going too fast every time. That is the question. It's going too fast sometimes. The question we're starting with this. The Gemara says, we started with this question. Why was Belshazzar punished and not Achashverosh? And now that's our first question. Now we're pouring salt on this question and saying, wait a second. Israel said a big thing. If you're personally going to benefit, it's going to be much worse. So even if the question becomes greater, why was Achashverosh not punished for personally benefiting, while Beshatza was punished for non-personally benefiting. Hate to leave with a teaser. We got that marv.
Who said that?